This is Stateside from Michigan Radio. I'm Lester Graham. Nearly every week you'll hear something about the Federal Reserve Bank, but how often do you think of the Fed and your local economy? Well, Neil Kashkari wants to change that. He's the president and CEO of the Federal Reserve Bank of Minneapolis. It serves the 9th District. There are 12 districts across the nation. Michigan's Upper Peninsula is in the 9th District. The Lower Peninsula is in the 7th District that's served by the Chicago branch. Neil Kashkari will be in the UP next week for a short town hall forum in Houghton, and he joins us now. I understand you're holding these forums, these town halls across the district. What are you hoping to accomplish with them?
It's really important for me to get out in the district and hear directly from residents. How are things going? How's the local economy? How's the job market? What are their concerns? A big part of my job is to represent our region when I go back to Washington, D.C., and then we set monetary policy for the nation. And so hearing directly from people who live in the UP is why I'm going there, and I hope people will come out to the town hall.
I'm wondering if it's kind of a head-scratcher for some. I mean, generally speaking, how well does the typical citizen understand what the Fed is, what it's doing for them, and why you're in their town?
Well, that's true. And so part of what I'm doing when I go out to these town halls is educating people about why there is a Fed, how we're focused on monetary policy. We're looking at the job market. We're looking at economic growth. Congress has charged the Fed with keeping an even economy, not too hot, not too cold, and a strong job market. And that's what we're trying to achieve. And even though some of these issues are complicated, people living in the UP will be able to tell me, hey, here's how our job market is. Here's what we're seeing in prices. And it's important for me to hear directly from them.
We all have this vague idea that you're somehow responsible or to blame for the interest rates on our loans, our credit cards, and so forth. How do you explain how the Federal Reserve banking system is relevant to an individual's life as well as the regional economy?
Well, like you just said, it's through that borrowing, those credit costs. So when you go out and you get a mortgage for your house, you can pay more for a mortgage or less. That's one of the ways that the Federal Reserve influences keeping the economy growing. Again, not too hot. If the economy looks like it's overheating, the Fed will raise rates, which will make it more expensive to get a car loan or a home loan or a business loan, and that'll cool things down. If the economy looks like it's going down, then typically the Fed will cut rates to try to make it easier and cheaper to get those loans. So the lending is one of the key ways that we end up influencing the economy.
Yeah, you mentioned that, and I wasn't going to bring this up, but you recently dissented on that with the committee. You want to explain that real quickly to us?
Sure. So the Fed just last week voted to raise interest rates by 0.25%, and I voted against that. And the reason I voted against that is that I think the economy still has room to run. We're not seeing signs of overheating. The job market is getting tighter. I know that. But if you look at inflation, inflation is still running a little bit lower than what we've targeted, which is 2% per year. That tells me we should allow the economy to keep growing and expanding before we start tapping the brakes. That was a judgment call. My colleagues, you know, voted in favor of the increase, and that's why we raised rates.
Well, we're on the subject of the Federal Open Market Committee. That consists of the Reserve Bank presidents, like yourself, and the Board of Governors. Can you explain those separate parts of the Fed and how they work together or don't work together?
Absolutely. So 100 years ago, in 1913, when Congress created the Federal Reserve, they didn't want all the power concentrated in Washington, D.C. So they said, we're going to have a separation of powers, and we're going to have a Board of Governors in Washington that are appointed by the President of the United States and confirmed by the United States Senate. And then they created 12 independent regional Federal Reserve banks, including the Federal Reserve Bank of Minneapolis. And the presidents, of which I'm one, I'm not appointed by the President of the United States. I'm appointed by a local board of directors who picked me to help represent this region. So that's a separation. That way we don't have groupthink all in Washington, D.C., all taking the Washington perspective. And that's even more why it's so important for me to hear directly from people in the UP. How's it going? How's the economy? How's the job market? That can help inform my own thinking when I go back to Washington.
Each Fed district puts out a regional beige book, the publication that comes out 8 times a year. It includes articles on different economic issues from the region. I was looking at the summary of the latest Minneapolis beige book issued in May, and it read, economic activity grew modestly. The professional services, residential construction, manufacturing, energy, and mining sectors saw growth, while commercial and residential real estate activity declined slightly. Commercial construction increased in some regions but was flat in others and slower in segments outside of multifamily building. Employment and wages both saw moderate growth. How well does the Upper Peninsula fit that economic picture of the entire district?
Well, I think one of the advantages that we have as a district is it's very diverse. So all major sectors of the U.S. economy are represented somewhere across the 9th District. So if some sectors are up, other sectors may be down. The UP is not going to have the same diversity of economic engines that we have over this multi-state region. And so that's why it's important for me to go directly to the UP, hear how things are going. And I was there last year, learned about some of the challenges that they have. And so, you know, I'm here to learn and here to hear from people and give feedback where I can. But I do think the UP is its own region. It's more of a concentrated sector. You're not going to have that diversity. Just like when I go to North Dakota, North Dakota does not have the same diversity. They've got a huge oil patch, which helps them in boom times, but can be challenging when times are tough.
So give us a thumbnail sketch of the Upper Peninsula economy. What are the dominant industries, dominant influences on the economy?
Well, I mean, you look at the natural resources that are up there. You look at the, you know, people, a lot of people go there for vacationing, for second homes, et cetera. There are other challenges that I heard about when I was there last year in terms of electricity rates and some of the competitiveness challenges that they have just based on the geography. So the geography of the Upper Peninsula, as I've seen it, is one of the huge resources, one of the huge features of the UP, but it's also one of the challenges that people face there that they may not face in other parts of the region. And so I need to hear from folks, you know, what are happening to local housing prices? Last time I was there, I heard that it can be really expensive for folks and that there are real constraints there. I also heard about electricity prices, but, you know, I want to hear, are things getting better? Are things getting worse? What does the job market look like?
Here in the Lower Peninsula, we think of the UP as timber and mining. Are those as dominant as they once were?
Well, I mean, I think that they still have a very, very large share, but some of those sectors have come under pressure, not just in the UP, but all across the 9th District economy. Some of those sectors that you just mentioned are under pressure, given where commodity prices have fallen over the last few years, you know, relative to their peak several years ago. And so I need to see how the region is adjusting to that and whether or not there are new businesses that are being created to provide those good jobs that people are looking for.
Each Federal Reserve District does its own research for the Beige Book. Who determines what you'll study for each edition of that book, and what's the overall goal?
Well, the overall goal is to get an honest snapshot of what's happening in the regional economy. So we have a very strong team of economic researchers in our bank that do long-term economic research. We also have regional economists and people who travel out across the district, meeting with small businessmen and women, meeting with banks, large and small, meeting with community leaders to hear what's happening. All of that intel is then brought back together, consolidated, and that's how we produce the Beige Book. By me going out personally, I want to hear directly, I don't want to just hear the secondhand stories. I want to hear directly from citizens what's happening, what are the challenges, what are the opportunities.
So once you bring that in, once you're aware of that, more aware of what's going on in the UP from the residents, what can the Fed do? What can you do to improve the economic plight?
Well, a couple things. One is directly through monetary policy. So as we talked about a few moments ago, in March and again in June, I voted against a rate increase and have been advocating that, you know, we're not seeing the economy overheating. Let's keep rates lower while the economy continues to heal. That's one direct way we can influence the economy. And then second, in some of the longer-term research that we do, we can do analysis that brings forward ideas that other policymakers can carry forward. So I'll give you an example. We just announced a major new research initiative studying economic opportunity and inclusive growth. And the point of this is there are big disparities in our country, in our region, whether it's urban and rural disparities or racial disparities. If we can come up with policy solutions that are beyond monetary policy and put those out in a non-political, non-partisan way, that could then give members of Congress, state legislatures, governors, the information they need to take their own policies forward. So we're looking for every way we can to try to support the U.S. economy and the economy of our region, and we're open to ideas.
I want to ask you about another disparity, and that's there's a lot of concern about income inequality. What's your take on that issue?
I think it's an important issue. I think, you know, as the economy has expanded over the last 30 years, we have seen rising income inequality across our country. And we need an economy that works for everyone, in my opinion. We need an economy that everyone has a fair chance to get a good education, get a good job, and build a better life for themselves. We know the Fed cannot solve all of these problems, but if we can do the research that helps shine a light on them, again, in a non-political, non-partisan way, I think that's an important contribution we can make.
Well, I've got you on the line here. I want to ask you one other thing, and that's what you think of the CHOICE Act, which is proposed to replace the Dodd-Frank Act, which regulates the banking industry. What are the pros and cons?
Well, we did a major initiative at the Minneapolis Fed focusing on the problem of too-big-to-fail banks. In short, the biggest banks are still too big to fail, and the taxpayers will be on the hook if they get into trouble, and that's a problem from my perspective. So our analysis says the banks need a lot more capital, which is the buffer, the down payment that they make on their investments. That down payment can protect the taxpayers. So the CHOICE Act recognizes that and encourages banks to have more capital. I would say the CHOICE Act does not go far enough in increasing the capital requirements on the biggest banks. The CHOICE Act also has a bunch of other stuff in there on terms of monetary policy and the Federal Reserve that I don't think are good ideas. But in terms of the banks, I do like more capital. But the CHOICE Act then rolls back a lot of regulations on the big banks that I think probably goes too far. So for me, I would want to see much higher capital requirements for the biggest banks. And if we did that, then we could probably roll back some of these regulations. But I don't want us to be back in a situation like we were in 08, where the taxpayers had to step in to stabilize the banks.
Neel Kashkari is the president and CEO of the Federal Reserve Bank in Minneapolis. He's going to be visiting the UP next week in Houghton to talk to the citizens, take some information back to inform the decisions he has to make for us regarding interest rates and other economic issues. Thanks very much for talking with us.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.